Hola, bienvenidos a Fiesta. I am composer Elvio Barilari, professor of Latin American music at UIC, University of Illinois at Chicago, and artistic director of the Latino Music Festival. Today, with a program with the title Music for the Holy Week, and with a very special guest, Professor Robert Kendrick. Bienvenido, Professor Kendrick.
Gracias, Elvio. Bienvenidos a todos los que escuchan Fiesta en muchísimas ciudades.
We invited Professor Kendrick because he has a deep knowledge on music from Spain and Latin America, in this case, sacred music, and we should say from Spain and the New Spain, because actually Mexico didn't exist. The name of those territories was the New Spain. Where are we going to start?
Well, we're going to start in Spain, and your point about how Spain and New Spain were really one unit, I think that's very important because musicians, composers, pieces, and text went back and forth. But what I want to do is start at the very beginning of the period we're going to be listening to, and that is in the late 16th century, with the composer who is best known to the entire listening audience, a priest from the central Spanish city of Ávila by the name of Tomás Luis de Victoria. Although he had been born and brought up in Ávila, he had been a choir boy and learned the craft of composition and of music there. Still in his teens, he went to Rome. And it's important to remember, in light of what you say about Spain, that there's a very important Spanish component to the city of Rome. And Victoria was part of that world of Spanish Rome in the late 16th century. In 1585, Victoria published a big collection of music for the liturgical services of Holy Week. It has a fancy Latin title by the name of Officium Hebdomadae Sanctae. And from this collection, we're going to listen to the opening of the setting of the gospel sung on Palm Sunday, and that is the Passion of Christ according to the Gospel of Matthew. So we'll hear a couple of minutes just from the very opening of that Passion.
That was an excerpt of the St. Matthew Passion from the opening of that Passion by Spanish composer Tomás Luis de Victoria. The ensemble was La Colombina under Joseph Cabré and Escola Antigua under Juan Carlos Asensio. Professor Kendrick, that was a very different Europe in a very different Spain.
Indeed. So in 1585, when this music was published, one has to remember that actually in that year, Spain was Spain, Portugal, about half of Italy, all of what we now call Latin America, the Philippines, and even little bits and pieces of North Africa. And so it really was a world empire. That's one of the reasons why music and musicians traveled very, very easily and quickly within the Spanish Empire. And music could go from Spain to Mexico to the Philippines and those kinds of distances.
We are talking to Professor Robert Kendrick. He's currently the chairman of the music department at the University of Chicago. He specializes in history of music and ethnomusicology. His interest is in circuit music from the Renaissance and the Baroque.
Basically, all of the music we'll be hearing on this program was conceived of as part of the Catholic liturgy for Holy Week. I think many people are aware of the big processions, ceremonies, masses, even today in places like Seville and Cuenca in Spain, but also in central Mexico, Querétaro, Ayacucho in Peru, and really all over the Hispanic world. Much of what we see today is simply confraternities, lay people, men, women, doing processions, doing reenactments of the crucifixion. But what's not as clear today is the actual official Latin liturgy of the Catholic Church that went on during those days. And the very, very first piece that we heard, the opening of the St. Matthew Passion by Victoria, was the way that the gospel at Mass was to be sung on Palm Sunday. So in this was projecting the words simply and only the Latin words of the Bible, the so-called Latin Vulgate. Much of Victoria's St. Matthew Passion is simply Gregorian chant, where a single singer recites the words to a pre-existing chant tone. Where Victoria comes in is in the passages in the gospel account, which are set for the crowd, for Pontius Pilate, for the disciples. And it was for those relatively brief sections that he composed new music absolutely in 16th century style. There are two passions that are really important in this period are the Matthew Passion and the St. John Passion, and that was sung at Mass on Good Friday. Now I'd like to turn to another part of the Latin liturgy, and that's what's called the Divine Office. Here we have the entire Lesson 1, Lamentation Number 1 for Good Friday by Victoria. Same artist, La Colombina, Josep Cabré, and Escola Antigua, Juan Carlos Asensio.
Thank you.
Lesson 1 for Good Friday by Spanish composer Tomás Luis de Victoria. La Colombina under Josep Cabré. Escola Antigua under Juan Carlos Asensio.
So one of the things that's very special about this piece is the text, which, as I mentioned, is taken from the Lamentations of Jeremiah. This is a book in the Hebrew Bible in which the prophet Jeremiah laments the destruction of the city of Jerusalem just before the Babylonian captivity in 587 before the Christian era BC. But it had a special kind of liturgical meaning. First, these were some of the saddest words, I think, to be found in the Bible, and they are used metaphorically to apply to two things, both the unbelievable sadness of the passion of Christ, as well as to the unbelievable destruction or ravishness of the human soul under the weight of sin. That's why they're used in this particular liturgical occasion. They were part of a liturgical service known as matins. Matins is combined with lauds, which is a series of psalms, and that was the liturgical place where Gregorio Allegri's famous setting of Psalm 50 or 51, Miserere Mei Deus, was actually sung liturgically. The other thing about these two services, matins and lauds, is that normally they're to be sung in the middle of the night, but in Holy Week, they were moved up to the late afternoon of the day before. So as they went on, the light in the church and outside got progressively dimmer. After each one of the psalms, a candle was extinguished, one of 15 candles that was set up on a big candle holder in the sanctuary of every Catholic church in the world. The effect of the entire service was that of increasing darkness or shadows. And the Latin word for shadows is tenebrae. This service is called the Tenebrae Service, and it's marked by this incredible connection among the lessening of the light, the text, and the fact that all the statues in the church and all the altars have been stripped bare. Very theatrical, absolutely theatrical. I just want to say before we move on to another piece from Matins, also by Victoria, and that is that the only thing that's sung in polyphony, multi-voice music, is the very first lesson of the piece and then the final words of the lesson. These words technically are not from Lamentations, but they conclude every lesson in the Holy Week liturgy. And those words are Jerusalem convertere ad Dominum Deum tuum. Jerusalem, come back to the Lord your God. So I'd like to compare this lesson with the next music we're going to hear, which is a responsory number 5 for Holy Saturday, also by Victoria, a text beginning, O vos omnes, all you who pass by and look, see if any sorrow is like unto my sorrow.
Thank you.
Responsory number 5 for Holy Saturday, Ovos Omnes, by Spanish composer Tomás Luis de Victoria. Of course, we need to make clear that we have been listening to excerpts or fragments of a much bigger piece that comes in 3 CDs by this fantastic Spanish composer from the 16th century, Tomás Luis de Victoria. The ensemble was La Colombina under Joseph Cabré and Escola Antigua under Juan Carlos Asensio. Our guest is Professor Robert Kendrick. This is Fiesta. Volvemos en unos instantes. Bienvenidos nuevamente a Fiesta. I am Elvio Barilari. Today with my guest, Professor Robert Kendrick, talking and listening this repertoire, music for the Holy Week. During the break, we just crossed the Atlantic very fast. And we are in Mexico. That was not called Mexico at the time. It was called New Spain, Nueva España. Professor.
And so that point, I think, is very important because, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, musicians, music, composers could travel very quickly. And the next piece that we're going to listen to, which is another lamentation by Juan Gutiérrez de Padilla, really brings this across. Padilla is probably the best known colonial Mexican, colonial American composer for a variety of reasons. But he was, in his upbringing and training, absolutely Spanish. He came from southern Spain, Andalusia, and he was head of the music at the cathedrals in Jerez de la Frontera and in Cádiz before undertaking a journey to the New World in the 1620s and becoming the assistant head of music, the assistant chapel master at the very important cathedral in Puebla de los Ángeles in Mexico. So that's about halfway between Veracruz and Mexico City. Padilla took over from his predecessor, Gaspar Fernandez, in the late 1620s and remained as chapel master in Puebla all the way till his death in 1664. And one can go, we certainly at the University of Chicago, we've had students who've gone down and looked at the original manuscripts and studied them, and many other colleagues have done this. So what we're going to hear now is a piece that is preserved in a very big manuscript where all the 6 voices that are singing could read simultaneously from the manuscript as a page was open. That kind of manuscript is known as a choir book. And what we have here is a lamentation, the first lesson for Holy Thursday, as set by Padilla, for 6 voices, no instruments. There's a wide tonal range. There's a lot of high passages and there's a lot of low passages. And there's some other surprises that Padilla has for us in the course of this setting. We don't know exactly when this music is from. It must be from sometime during Padilla's tenure as chapel master, anywhere between 1630 and 1660. And if it came after 1650, it would have been sung in the splendid Baroque cathedral that one can still see today in Puebla, which was constructed by the local archbishop, Juan de Palafox, who was recently canonized by the Catholic Church. Here's the first lesson for Holy Thursday, Incipit Lamentatio Jeremiae Prophetae, by Juan Gutiérrez de Padilla, and the Talis scholars are directed by Peter Phillips.
Thank you.
Lesson number one for Holy Thursday by Spanish-Mexican composer Gutiérrez de Paidilla, the Tali Scholars under Peter Phillips. Calling him Mexican is forcing a little bit because Mexico was New Spain at the time, but we want to mark that idea that Gutiérrez de Paidilla is one of the many European composers that moved to the New World and never went back to Europe and adopted the new continent as his home.
Yes, and certainly he had the kinds of performing forces in Puebla as well as the intellectual environment that I just mentioned that he might not have had in Spain. Puebla was an incredibly important and rich place. Bishop Palafox was very concerned about liturgy, so he was able to do the many things that he was able to do. He wrote not just liturgical music, but he also wrote sacred music in Spanish vernacular, in the Spanish language, known as villancicos, and other things as well. And I think that that's really a result of what he was able to do in Puebla.
Our guest is Professor Robert Kendrick from University of Chicago. And Professor, what's the next thing you have for us?
Well, I had said that so much of the energy and music making of Holy Week in Spain and Latin America was concentrated in the liturgy, in the music for the Mass and the Divine Office. And that's very, very true, and a lot of that music survives. But it's also true, just as it's true today, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, that there are a lot of rituals, rites, ceremonies, processions, and the like that are, if you will, not necessarily in church, around the music, in the streets, in the plazas, wherever they might be. And some of that music is actually not in Latin, but it's actually in Spanish. And I thought that we would go back to Spain for a second, just a little bit after Padilla's time, and hear one of those Spanish-texted pieces, which is on the subject of Christ's passion. This piece, like any Spanish-texted sacred piece of the time, is called a villancico, and it was composed by a musician working in the central Spanish city of Segovia. Today, that's about an hour northwest of Madrid. And his name was Jerónimo de Carrión. The text of this piece is about the Passion, and it was probably written for Segovia in probably the 1680s or 1690s. Carrión was there as the chapel master from the mid-1680s until his death in 1721. And I thought that it would be helpful just to give you a sense of what the text means and how it's, if you will, formatted musically, if I simply read the Spanish opening, which also comes back as the closing stanza. Ay amor, ay paciencia, ay dulce dueño, que te buscan mis ansias, y solo encuentro el dolor de las penas con que te veo. Oh, what love, oh, what patience, oh, my sweet Lord, for my anxiety is looking for you, but the only thing that I find is the pains of the sufferings with which I see you surrounded. So this is the opening of this piece. It's known as the estribillo, or the refrain. And then there are four stanzas, which are known as coplas, which elaborate on this a little bit more. And as the stanzas go on, because of a number of very subtle references to the Bible, especially the Old Testament book of the Song of Songs, it becomes clear that the person who is actually saying this text or singing this text is likely to be the Virgin Mary, who is suffering because of the pain that has been inflicted on her son. And there's a big tradition of paintings and sculptures and devotion to the suffering Mary in Hispanic and Latin American culture. So that's what this piece is about. Let's hear the villancico, Ay Amor, Ay Paciencia, by Jerónimo de Carrión, performed by the Capilla Jerónimo de Carrión under the direction of Alicia Lázaro.
Oh,
Villancico Hay Amor, Hay Paciencia by Spanish composer Jerónimo de Carrión, Capilla Jerónimo de Carrión, director Alicia Lázaro. And now we are approaching one of my favorites, Manuel de Sumaya, born in the continent, in the new continent, and trained by priests and trained by European composers in the art of music. Probably our audience remember Manuel de Sumaya. We did a whole show on him, but we didn't play this particular piece.
One, we probably remember Sumaya as someone who composes a lot of villancicos, which are usually not for the Passion, they're for Christmas or Epiphany or the Assumption of the Virgin or Corpus Christi. But when we hear this piece, I think one of the things that's amazing about it is how unbelievably retro it sounds. If you will, it sounds Renaissance-y like Padilla's piece, but even a few more twists. There's no organ. There's no basso continuo. It's simply voices. And the writing is very much in what's called the stile antico, that is to say the old kind of Palestrina, Victoria kind of style with a few twists. And yet this was new music that Sumaya was writing for the liturgy in Mexico City Cathedral in the 1720s, 150 years after Victoria. So we can sort of hear how in some ways the circle comes all the way around from this kind of ancient, weighty kind of musical style in order to set these very sad prophetic texts. With that, we can listen to the first lesson for Holy Saturday by Manuel de Sumaya, performed by well-known ensemble Chanticleer, directed by Joseph Jennings.
Lesson number one for Holy Saturday by Mexican or new Hispanic composer Manuel de Sumaya. The group is Chanticleer under Joseph Jennings. Professor Kendrick, he has a book. It's called Singing Jeremiah, Music and Meaning in Holy Week. Can we talk a little bit about the book?
Sure. What I attempted to do in the book was to give a context of both culture and music for some of the music that was performed during the Divine Office of Holy Week in a fairly long period of time from about 1570 to about 1750. Certainly, the amount of music that survives, not to even to mention the music that's been lost, is truly astounding. Probably something like 5,000 pieces by 700 different composers working in various parts of Catholic Europe, but also Mexico, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Peru, Colombia, and the like. And most importantly, I think not only except for a few pieces, such as the Allegri Miserere that we mentioned at the beginning of the show, most of the music has really not been studied well. There are relatively few editions. There are some recordings. But also what it meant to those who performed it, to the people who listened to it, to the people for whom it represented a kind of musical commemoration of the Passion of Christ on one hand, but also a kind of signal or incitement to personal penance on the other hand. Those are some of the things that I try to get at through various case studies in the book.
I'm going to be reading that book, Singing Jeremiah, Music and Meaning in Holy Week by Professor Robert L. Kendrick, published by Indiana University Press. Profesor Kendrick, te tengo que agradecer muchísimo la presencia.
De nada, Elvio.
Estoy seguro que la audiencia la ha disfrutado mucho también. I'm saying thank you to Professor Kendrick in Spanish. And that was Fiesta for today. Muchas gracias to Professor Robert Kendrick. Muchas gracias to Steve Robinson. Muchas gracias to our producer, Sidney Gillard. Muchas gracias to our assistant producer, Sarah Murphy. Muchas gracias to our Spanish editor, Paloma Orozco. Muchas, pero muchísimas gracias to our main sponsor, Joyce Saxon. And muchas, pero muchísimas gracias también to all of you. Estamos en la cadena radial de WFMT.